You may be asking for something that has nothing to do with what God's will is, but somebody else comes along and maybe they're emotionally apart from it. Maybe they're not emotionally involved in it, but they see that you need prayer. And they start praying with you and they start asking God for things that you never thought of Him to ask for.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Why We Go to Church and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
I wanted to go over today to talk about what it means to be in a church. One of the main purposes of church is, of course, to worship God, but it's also to grow that love for God and to grow that love for one another. And so there are some things that can keep us out of church. We need to hold one another accountable for these things that would keep us out. Now, I know that some people are sick and they can't get to church. They're disabled. They can't make it to church. And for those people that can't get to church physically, you know, we have TV, we have radio, evangelists. For those of us who have no physical illnesses that would keep us out of church, there are other things that would keep us out of church. One of them is plain laziness. Sometimes we become lazy. We want to sleep in on Sunday, or we just want to lounge around and we don't want to go to church. Another reason why some people won't go to church is putting entertainment and amusements before God. Maybe they got an event planned on Sunday, and they'd rather go do that than spend time with the Lord and the Lord's people. And then, of course, there's the third thing that keeps people from going to church, and it's a harbinging of bitterness towards Christians or other believers. You know, you could be a Christian and have anger in your heart towards another believer, towards a Christian. You could actually have hate towards Christians. I have actually seen people harbor hate towards Christians who they themselves are believers, and they have bitterness and anger towards this person, and they won't go to church because somebody's going to be there that weekend. Okay. Our anchor scripture today is in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. The scripture reads, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." This is Christ talking. And what he is telling us is that we are to publicly announce our belief in him, our love for him. So the first reason I'd like to go over that we go to church is that it is an expression of our love for God. Going to church is a visible, a tangible expression of our love and worship towards the Lord. It is where, as believers, we gather together publicly and we bear witness of our faith and our trust in God. This worships God in many different ways, and it also shows others that we are believers and that we are committed to God. So we are a witness for what God is doing in our lives. And we witness by showing up to church, showing the people around us that we do love God and that we are willing to openly, publicly announce this. When we go to church, we should be anxious to see what God has to say to us today. We should be excited. What is God going to speak to my heart today? You know, when I preach, I get a lot of stuff out of this because as I read the scriptures, I start to hear God's word and he starts speaking to me too. So I'm learning up here too as I preach. So church is where we bear witness of Jesus to others, whether or not they're actually in the building. But you know that there are some people that will come to church that are not believers, and they're curious. When they get here, you may not know that they're a believer or not. And they might tell you that they're a believer. A lot of people think that Christianity is synonymous with being a good person. But the word Christian actually means Christ-like. Remember we talked about the fruits? So a person can call themselves a Christian, but unless they're bearing fruits, we have to question that, because Jesus said we will know them by their fruits. So we might have folks that will show up to church out of curiosity, or they were invited, or they were pressured, which we don't want to pressure anybody to come to church. We want to gently and lovingly invite them. And they're going to watch the congregation, how they act. So we have to bear witness our love for God. Another thing that church provides for God is that church is where we can bring good offerings and praise and thanks and honor, which are pleasing to God. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 22, verse 22, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you." So this is where we come to God and we give him thanks. And I know everybody in here, whether they know it or not, has something to be thanking God for. He's pulled us out of something. God is always working, and there's things that he saved me from that I know of. But we also can give him thanks for Christ. We can also give him praise for Christ. Church blesses God and not only blesses us. And sometimes, you know, I think people are, and I see this a lot on TV too, unfortunately. People get motivated to go to church because they believe that church is going to bless them. Unless you walk out of here with something of God's word in your heart, I don't feel that you've been blessed. I think a true blessing is a growing closer to God in his word, to get something from God's word, to walk out of here, and then to apply what you have learned in God's word to the outside world, to the non-believers, or even to other Christians belonging to other churches. That's my definition of a blessing. But all too often, we forget that we're here for God too. If you love somebody, you'll come spend time with them. Anybody in here who has ever had anyone that they cared about in the hospital, you don't ask them to come to you. You go visit them. And you visit them because you care about them. So again, when we show up to church, we are showing God and others that we care about him, that we're coming to visit him. Not that God is here in the church, because he's not. God is here in us. He dwells within us. This is just a meeting place where we can all agree upon to be at, to where we can worship him at a specific time during the week. And another reason that we go to church is that God is worthy of our praise and worship. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, which was written by the disciple John, reads, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." So God is worthy. It's not like we're just showing up to worship just anybody, but we're worshiping the Creator. We're worshiping the Almighty God. So reason number two, and this is important, church builds up our spiritual strength. The first thing the devil wants to do is he wants to get you alone. Ever heard of divide and conquer? Satan wants to break you away from people who are hearing from God, who are obeying God, and who are working for God. He wants to divide you from those people so that he can talk to you. Because when he gets you alone, he can work on you and he can get into your emotions, he can get into your thought process, and he can start to manipulate you. And believe me, the further you get away from church, and when I say church, I'm not just talking about a building, I'm talking about other believers too. The further you get away from church, the more negativity will start coming into your life, because Satan will fill that gap. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, and this is a long scripture, but I want to read this. Paul is talking about putting on the armor of God. As Christians, we are in a battle with Satan. And Satan wants to tear down everything that represents God. And he is described as the prince of this world because he manipulates things that are on television. He manipulates the leaders of this world. And he even tries to manipulate Christians who are not reading their word. If you're not reading God's word, you don't know what God has to say to you. So that makes you an easier target for him. So here's what Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18 reads. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes... I'm going to stop right there and let you guys take note. He said when. He didn't say if. The devil's coming. The devil and his dominions are working a scheme to come get you. It's the truth. He didn't say if, he said when. So every believer is subject to Satan's attacks. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. So we have to stand first with Christ. You cannot defeat Satan without Jesus Christ. With the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Anyone in here that's ever been stressed out about a subject, you can wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it. That's Satan throwing his flaming arrows at you. It's symbolic for the way he bombards our mind and our lives. He comes at us with thoughts. He comes at us with ideas. He comes at us with schemes. He comes at us through people. But with faith in God, knowing that God is in control of our lives, and knowing that we're submissive to God, we will have peace about us. And we can call the devil a liar because, you know, he'll lie to you. Ever worry about something that never came to pass? That's Satan messing with your mind. And some of it's carnal. Some people are just natural worriers. But Satan likes to he certainly does like to put things in our head and thoughts into our heads to get us thinking about a situation, about things that'll never happen. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now he's talking about taking up the word of God. If you don't read this, you will not know what God has to say in your life. You'll turn on the TV, you'll watch what they have to say about God on television or in a movie or through a friend. I've had Christians tell me things about God that were not true. And as I got to know the person, I found out they didn't even read their Bible. They don't read their Bible. And they're trying to teach me. So we need the word of God to fight off Satan and his schemes. The scripture continues, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We're to pray for one another. You're to pray for me. I need your prayers. And you need mine. So as you can see, the scripture says that we're in a spiritual warfare. And we need the word of God, we need Christ, and we need to put that together with all of us together. There's strength in numbers, is there not? There's strength in numbers. So as a congregation, we're stronger than if we were out there by ourselves. If you're staying home every Sunday and you're not getting the word of God in you and you're not getting any fellowship, how can you even tell somebody to pray for you? What if you have something that's going on in your life, you need prayer for it, and you're not going to church? Who's going to pray for you? Who's going to help you? Who's going to stand by you? If you're not going to church, you're out of the loop. So as we go to church, we hear the word of God. And in Romans 10, verse 17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So when we come to church and I'm up here preaching and you hear the word of God, understand that you are growing your faith, or God is growing your faith through his word, because hearing the word grows faith. It says faith comes from hearing the message. Third reason that we go to church is that church brings a special visitation of the Lord's presence. In Matthew 18:20, for where two or three come together in my name, this is Jesus talking, there I am with them. I don't know about you guys, but when I hear my name mentioned, I want to go check it out. When I hear somebody talking about me, I want to get in the middle of it. Is there anybody in here that prefers people talking about them when they're not around? Well, Jesus says, if you start talking about him, he's going to show up. That's a promise. You start talking about Jesus, he's going to be there. I think that's beautiful. God's going to show up because we're talking about him. Fourth reason for church is that church provides fellowship with other Christians. We just talked about the fellowship, but here's some scripture on it. Because remember when we opened up, I talked about you could have a dislike for Christians. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, this is what Jesus says about this. But if you do not forgive men their sins, and he's talking about what they do against you, your Father will not forgive your sins. If someone walks up to you and they steal something from you, and you have something in your heart towards that person, hate, unforgiveness, God's got a grievance with you. Because as Jesus Christ forgave us for our sins, we are to be thankful enough that we can say to God that I forgive that person. I'm not saying be a doormat. That's not what I mean by that. If somebody robs your home, you call the police and you make your police report. But you don't have hate that keeps you up at night thinking about the person who robbed you. You pray for that person and you ask God to deliver them from their sinful ways. In John chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it reads, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. So when we hate other Christians and we have grievances against them, God says, you're in the dark, because God lives in the believer. If you see a Christian and you see their fruits and you have something against them, you got something against God. So you're breaking the fellowship that you have with God when you hate another Christian. And if God's living inside of you and you got a grievance against somebody, that's kind of a conflict of interest, isn't it? Because God lives in us too. So one of the most important reasons that we go to church is that we practice love towards the brothers and sisters in the form of fellowship. So the Bible clearly shows that if we have a right relationship with God, that we'll have fellowship with other believers. In 1 John chapter 1 through 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us all from sin. Keeping ourselves in love and harmony with other believers keeps us humble before God, so that Christ's blood can continue to cleanse us from our sins. As we talk to one another, as we fellowship with one another, we are building our relationship stronger with God and with each other. And like I said, when you're fellowshipping, you can pray for each other. And that's so important. The fifth reason, church is an act of obedience to God. Fourth commandment is that we have to keep the holy day, the Sabbath day, holy, set apart. I'm going to give you a little bit of history here. Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was a Saturday, and Christians were going to church on Saturday and meeting up with the non-Christian Jews. Now you got Jews who don't believe in Christ as the Messiah, and you got Christians all meeting on the same day in the synagogue. That can be messy, right? So the Christians, they started worshiping Christ by celebrating his risen day of the first day of the week, which is Sunday. So that's why we, as today, worship on Sunday, because that's the day that Christ rose from the dead. The sixth reason why we go to church is that it provides accountability to spiritual leadership. Now, as a pastor, I told you I'm responsible for you guys in front of God. That doesn't mean that I can make you guys do anything that you don't want to do, but I can guide you, and I can gently and lovingly tell you when you're off track. And I will do that. Because if I don't, I've got a higher person that I need to answer to. When we come to fellowship here in church, and we see something wrong in another person's life that's hurting them, that could be hurting the church, we should take them aside in private and lovingly, gently, calmly show them in the scripture, because we want to use God's word. Remember, God's word is like a sword. That means that it can cut things out of our lives that we don't need, right? It can pierce our hearts. A sword can pierce, it can cut, right? It can also defend. But in this case, we need to use the word of God to gently tell this person where they're going astray. And that's spiritual accountability. Hebrews 13, verse 17 reads, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account." I just told you I have a higher person to answer to. "Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." Now, did you hear that? As your pastor, if I show you something in the Bible, I would hope and pray that you would read it and study what I'm giving to you. It says that you are to submit to what I am telling you, because I have been given stewardship. You were not forced to come here. And so by coming here, you are to submit to my leadership spiritually. When a person doesn't submit to the pastor or to the leader, then it causes them a burden. When I see things out of alignment in God's word in one of my sheep's life, and I was talking about this with my wife last night, it bothers me. You probably think I just leave here and I'm done. But I think about everybody in here. And when I see something out of alignment, I don't judge you. It burdens me. And then the Bible says that burden on me is no advantage to you. If you're not taking what I'm saying to you and living it out and applying it to your lives, then it causes a burden on me, makes my job harder, and that's no advantage to you. It's no advantage to the church. So I would hope that you would all listen to what I have to say up here and check it out for yourself in the Bible and then apply it to your lives and to other people's lives. And, you know, God designed the system of accountability for the progress and protection of his flock. So when we go out and we visit a different church, when we go out, we do what people call church hopping and stuff like that. We're not getting spiritual leadership over that. I know some people, they like to go to a different church every week. And you might be getting the word of God in you that way, but you're not getting spiritual leadership. You're not growing in a relationship with the flock either. So the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, to respect your pastor, it says, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you." Do you know what admonish means? It means to gently, lovingly correct you. So if I come to you and I correct you on something, I would ask, and God commands that you, whoever it may be when I do this, that you respect me, especially if it aligns up with God's word. So if I come to you and I show you something in the Bible that I see out of alignment, please obey God and respect the fact that I'm here on God's orders and that he loves you and that correction is coming from God before it's coming from me. Because, you know, as my sheep, God will show me things. He will show me things, and he will tell me when it's time to talk to that person. And if I mean, I'll argue with God. I don't like doing that. You think I enjoy talking to people about stuff? God will bug me and bug me. He'll keep tapping me on the shoulder. And number seven, and we are almost done. Church combines our spiritual strength and prayer. In Matthew 18, verse 19, it reads, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven." You know, I've gone through some bouts of heavy praying, and I never really understood this. I thought, well, all we need is a bunch of people praying for the same thing, and God will give it to us. But I realized something one day when I was praying with somebody. They were praying for things I never thought of. And when they prayed for those things that I never thought of or prayed for, it made sense in my heart that I should have been asking for those things. So you might be out there alone praying for something or praying for a specific event to take place or not to take place or to take place in a certain kind of a way. You may be asking for something that has nothing to do with what God's will is, but somebody else comes along and maybe they're emotionally apart from it. Maybe they're not emotionally involved in it, but they see that you need prayer. And they start praying with you, and they start asking God for things that you never thought of him to ask for. And you know, God promises us that if we ask anything in his name, which is his will, we ask anything in his name, he will do it. And now this is the final reason, and then I'll be done. Church honors the Lord's day. And I said earlier that the fourth commandment of the law that God gave to Moses was to set aside the seventh day of the week. And Saturday was that holy day. And officially, that is the holy day of God, Saturday. But remember, we're not under the law. And so the Christians have come up with a new day, Sunday. But Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 reads, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." Holy actually means set aside. Did you know that? Some people believe that holy means perfect, but holy actually means set apart. It means to be totally different and to be set apart. So we want to take this day and we want to set it apart. We want it to be a different day. During the weekday, we don't have time for God. We should have time for God. We should make time for God. We should give up a TV program and read an hour's worth of the Bible. And we should turn off our cell phone for an hour and the TV and the radio and just get someplace alone with God.
This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.